Good morning. O God, author of eternal light, lead us in our worshiping this day, that our lips may praise you, that our lives may bless you, and our meditations glorify you, through Christ our Lord. Amen. If you could bow for a word of prayer, please, as we begin our worship service this morning. God, who are the most high of all, you have a surprising preference for people who are small and humble and who expect everything from you. You chose Mary, the unassuming virgin from Nazareth, to become mother of your son, Jesus. Through your Holy Spirit, make us aware of the poverty of our hearts, that we may be open to you and welcome you. Be ready, like Mary, to serve you and your plans, and expect everything from you. Come to us and give yourself to us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're now going to sing a couple of songs. And this continues our call to worship. Here I am to worship.
Together, wonderful to me. So here I am.
Song of praise.
Would you stand, please, if you're able to?
And it is warm, isn't it? Isn't it a glorious day? Yes? Yes? Okay. I see by the people that aren't here that it must be a really nice day outside. But that happens, and we are Christians, so we will forgive them for not being here on a Sunday morning. So welcome again, everybody. Are there any guests in our midst that would need to be introduced, or one that maybe doesn't need to be introduced? Pastor Albert is with us this morning. Anyone else? Somebody from out of town? No? Okay. Well, welcome anyway to all who are here this morning. So to go through a few of the announcements under number one, we've got Elsa Peters, who would like to thank the congregation for the lovely flowers, visits, cards, and well wishes she received during her stay in hospital. She's now recovering at home, which is great, and ask that you continue to keep her in your prayers as the healing process continues. Number two, next Sunday, all the baby boomers, and I guess that's me, people in their 50s and 60s. It's time to have a little fun, so next weekend, next Sunday, right after the service, we'd like to meet at Fraser's Grove Park for lunch, visiting, and lawn games. I don't think we're allowed to bring lawn darts anymore. Those are kind of dangerous. Nobody remembers lawn darts? Okay, anyway. I gave mine to the neighbors who had young kids to play with. So bring a bag lunch, a beverage, and a game if you would like. And you're also invited to bring your bicycle to church on Sunday, and we can all bike over there together. I think Pastor Gary would like to. Not a guest, though on holidays.
It's great to be back. We miss you, of course, and holidays are way too much work, so looking forward to be back in the office. Wasn't sure you'd recognize me. I'm parting my hair in a different place now. We are a family. And just like blood and commitment hold a family together, so the love that God has poured into our hearts for each other holds us together as a church. And we worship together, and we celebrate together, and we struggle together, and we care for each other when there's pain. And when there's need, the question that we ask is, how do I plug in? How can I help? Well, guess what, folks? There's a need. The need is to have people to help with Sunday school. And the reason this is so important is because Sunday school is an important place where we share the story of this amazing God who loves us so much. And it's a place where we share our story to tell about how God has impacted our lives. And so the question is, how do we plug in? And there's lots of places. Some of you can work as teachers, and we need some teachers. Some of you could be helpers, and we need those to help make sure that the kids have someone to walk with them when they're distracted. Some of you could help with singing. You do a great job, Jeff. Or help with the singing. Some of you could help with crafts. And some of you can pray. And in the bulletin number 3, you can see that if you can help out, we'd like you to contact either Shauna or myself. And that includes prayer. If you would like to commit yourself to pray for our Sunday school department, please let us know. And we'll let you know who the teachers and song leaders and so forth are and who the students are. And if there's any needs that come up, we will contact you, because the people praying for the program are an important part of the program. So please let us know. Some of you might say, well, we're gone part of the year, off to someplace warm when it's cold here. That's okay. We can work with your schedule and plug you in when you can. Some of you are saying, well, we don't want to miss church all the time. This year, we're hoping to have the teachers spend at least half the time in the worship service. We'll be trading off. Some of you may say, I don't know. I've put in my time. I'm getting a little older, or I'm too young. Young people have energy, old people have maturity and experience, and we can use all of you. 80 does not exclude you from helping out with Sunday school, and those in between, of course, are welcome. We get a little bit like Gideon. We kind of hide in our corner and we say, I think God's asking someone else. Well, folks, just like Gideon, today God is asking you, so am I. Asking you to plug in. We need you to help out, to plug in, to make this program work. And the reason is, we're family. This is important. So please prayerfully consider this, and whatever way you would like to help out would be greatly appreciated. We look forward to your emails and phone calls.
Thank you, Pastor Gary. That was more impassioned than I was going to read the bulletin item here. One other piece, and it's not in the bulletin yet because it's a little early, but those of you with musical talents, I will be coordinating another musical Sunday. You may remember we had one earlier on this year. I'll be coordinating another musical Sunday. That date is October the 19th. So please, if you would like to share those talents with the congregation in worship, haven't chosen a theme. I'm leaning towards peace as a theme for this particular Sunday. So songs about peace. So that's my preliminary thought for that Sunday. So prayerfully consider your participation in that as well. Are there any other announcements that need to be made this morning? If not, let's turn on our bulletins to those people in hospital. Henry Klein is in Concordia, Margaret Jansen at Misericordia. Peter Jansen is in St. B, and Elsa Peters is at home. And also, you can see the list of our congregation members that are in Bethania, and we wish to keep them in our thoughts and prayers as well. Now, we do have a mic, even though it's not in the bulletin, we do have a mic for sharing. Is there anybody that would wish to share this morning? I'll just give you a brief update. I spoke to my son this morning. Don't speak to him as often as I'd like to, but spoke to him this morning, and he's been on night shift. You might have heard he's in Yellowknife, and they've had all those fires up there. So the helicopters are ferrying people around, getting to fight those fires and so on. So the helicopters fly during the day, and what do the maintenance guys have to do? Well, they got to work at night. So he's been working fairly long hours in the evening, and still really enjoying it, though. So if you want to have one extra person to throw in your prayers, you can pray for Bryce for continued enjoyment in his job and fulfillment in his career. Perrin is still in Jasper having too good of a time. We don't need to pray for her except that she comes home and decides what she wants to do in university. That's the father talking, and I think I'm allowed to do a couple of jokes while we're worshiping the Lord. So now if you'd bow your head, in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day, the wonderful weather that we've had lately. We even thank you for the mosquitoes. Makes us long for the cooler temperatures that are going to come all too quickly. We pray that you would be with those of our congregation members who are either sick in hospital or are in extended care family, or in extended care facilities. We pray that you'd be with them and heal them, or be with them and their caregivers as they pass the time. We pray that you'd be with those people that aren't with us this morning, those that are away on vacation, those that are having a good day, maybe at the beach. Pray that you'd keep them safe, keep God in their hearts, and have them have a wonderful day. We pray for the leaders of our country, either locally with the issues that we deal with here of crime and homelessness. Pray for the bigger, larger country of Canada, and we thank you for the wonderful place that we're able to live and worship you, Lord. Let's also pray for wisdom and forbearance in the broader world, Syria and Iraq, where there's just too much turmoil and too much death and suffering. We pray that you would help the world leaders also contain and find a cure, if possible, for the terrible disease that is Ebola, that is in Africa, this outbreak. So we pray that you would guide the doctors and guide the people to follow the wisdom that those doctors and the leaders of the world bring to those people there. We also pray that you be with Janet and with the rest of us as Janet shares her message. This we pray in thy name. Amen. Now we will have another song. Children's story?
Do we have children? Did I see that out loud?
Yes.
Good morning. How are you? Like we haven't seen enough of each other this morning already. Oh, thanks, Adina. So today, our story, our character for the day is Mary. And you know who Mary is?
Yeah.
Right? The mother of Jesus. And the story that we're going to read in the scripture in a little while is about how the angel came to Mary and told her about this huge job that God had in store for her. And what was that job?
To look after Jesus'
son. Right. To have a son and to look after him, right? Because you don't just have a baby. There's a whole lot more to it, right? To being a mother. It takes years and years and years. Which is good. It's all good. And what did Mary say to the angel when he told her about this big job? Do you know what she said? Right. First she asked a question. She said, I don't have a husband. How is this going to happen? And he explained it. And then what did she say? No way. No, that's not right. What did she say? She said, yes, right? She said, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me as you have said. And that was a good answer, I think. And so part of what I want to share today about what Mary challenges me about, or what I find important in Mary's story, is that all of us have a job. We don't know what it is always. Right now, anyways, you might not know what your job is going to be. Some of us know what God's job is for us. But we all have one job. Everybody has the same job, and that is to show God's love to other people and to let our little lights shine. And that is part of what Mary has taught me, and I think part of what Mary has to teach all of us. All right, thanks.
we'll now be taking the offering, and we're going to be singing a new song that we haven't done before, but it is a Steve Bell song. And for those of you that don't know, Steve Bell just lives down the street here.
Close from my house.
Yeah. I'm the one step removed thing. I'm close to Adina, and Adina's close to Steve, so that means I'm close to Steve. Anyway.
His way, his word and his breath, and all things are called into being. This mystery of love and of life is a gift, and its glory beyond human reason. For holy, holy, holy is the God of power and might. In all of His glory lives, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest. Whatever He speaks is worthy to be pure and blameless and holy. Whatever He breathes is lovely indeed, forever reflecting His glory. And holy, holy, holy is the God of power and might. In all of heaven and earth His glory lives.
Obviously not close enough to Steve Bell. Sorry. Certainly not. He can do things with his guitar that just make me really, really envious. And this is a Christmas song, but we are talking about Mary, so we're going to sing it.
You know that your baby boy would one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you deliver will soon deliver you. Did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kissed your little baby, you kissed the face of God. Did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect man? And the sleeping child you're holding, it's a great.
And now for our scripture reading for this morning. It comes from Luke 1, verses 26 to 56. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, in a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren and is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Because you are among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who believes that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
Morning. So I want to start by giving you a little bit of background as to why I chose to talk about Mary this morning. A few weeks ago, I've been talking to Pastor Gary about this for a while. He gave me a list of some of the requests that had come in for favorite Bible characters, and I thought about a number of them, but I kept coming back to Mary. Mary has been important to me, or has become important to me, in a number of stages in my life. Both of my girls were born around Christmas time, and I remember being 8.5 months pregnant with Rhea, sitting very uncomfortably in the pews, just trying to get enough space to breathe, and really connecting with Mary, this young 8.5 to 9 month pregnant girl riding on a donkey across the country, trying to find a place to sleep. She just became very real to me that year. As an expectant mother, someone filled with all the excitement, the fear, the discomfort of being that pregnant and then having to travel. And when we were in Israel, we saw some donkeys that I would not have wanted to ride when I was 9 months pregnant, and also realized how hilly it is there and how the travel would have been not easy, would have been difficult. But Mary had popped up a number of years earlier when I was studying youth ministry. And one of the books that we looked at was a book called The God-Bearing Life. And at the time, it represented a bit of a shift from more program-centered youth ministry, where we are just doing youth ministry, to a relationship-centered ministry, to being a youth pastor, to being a pastor to the youth. And Mary was touched on pretty briefly in the beginning of this book, as one of the prime, or as the prime examples of a God-bearer. In the book, Dean and Foster write that all of us as well are called to become God-bearers, through whom God can enter the world again and again. And that really struck me at that time. Mary, as God-bearer, has come up again in my more recent studies, my master's studies. Especially this last year as I was researching a paper on the incarnational theology in the Eastern Orthodox Church, which I won't get into this morning, but it's very interesting. The Greek term for Mary is Theotokos, which means literally God-bearer. And Mary holds an important place in their theology as the one in whom the incarnation began. And the incarnation is central to their salvation theology. Mary is also a very important figure in the Catholic tradition, both as virgin and mother. And on our recent study tour to Israel and Palestine, Eric and I got to visit the Basilica of the Annunciation, which is this huge church built over top of where what is believed to be Mary's house, and where the angel of Gabriel was supposedly came to her. And so I have a few pictures to show you just for interest's sake. So there's the... Can you go, is there a back one? Is that the first one? That is the first one. You're right. So this is the one level of the church where you walk in. You can see in the back corner there, they're doing mass back there. It's an interesting mix of sacred space and tourist space in Israel. And then right there in the middle, if you go to the next picture, a close up, this is Mary's house in there. There's now, of course, an ornate altar. You can see the steps in the back going up. And some of this brickwork would be more. It was kind of a cave house. That was a way that a number of them lived back then. There's the dome of the cathedral. The basilica is in the inverted shape of a lily, which is the lily is related to Mary on a number of levels. And then outside the church and inside the church, there are mosaics from all around the world. Nations have donated these beautiful pictures of the Madonna and Child. And I pulled out a few of our favorites. This one is from Greece, so you can see it's a very classic picture of the mother and child done in the Greek style. To me, she looks very sad in that one. This one is from Croatia. I just love the colors of it. They're over top of the city. This one, to me, portrays a more serious Mary, a little bit powerful, too, in a way. There's something there. Anyways, the next one is from Thailand. And I just like this one because it portrayed Mary in a very different way, right? As part of the Thai culture. And I think it's the only one of the four that I'm showing you this morning where she's actually smiling at her son. This one is from Cameroon. And the one thing I noticed about this is it's actually kind of genderless. You can't really tell that she's female or that the baby is male. They're just people. And there's a very welcoming style to it. The arms are wide open to the people. Just interesting how different cultures have, Interesting how different cultures have portrayed Mary and the child. Of course, I have been touched by music over the years. Mary's song, the Magnificat, which Jeff just finished reading, has been set to music in a wide variety of styles. At CNBC, we sang a very minimalist version of the Magnificat by Arvo Pärt at the New Music Festival. It was just haunting and lovely, and if you ever get a chance to hear it, please do. There's not a lot of songs about Mary or about the Magnificat in our hymnal, but in our hymnal supplements, there are three, actually. There's one that is just the Latin text. It's a Taizé version. Magnificat, Magnificat, Magnificat anima mea dominum. And it goes around, and there's, of course, the Taizé repeat it. The other two are traditional Irish tunes, and I love the words in here. I won't read them all because that would take all morning. But there's My Soul Cries Out, and then there's also My Soul is Filled with Joy. And so those are more Irish traditional songs, and just love the way they have put it to music. The political agenda, really, in Mary's song is quite profound, and it still works today. We'll get to that as well. So, I have connected with Mary in a number of different ways, at different points in my life and in my faith journey. And so I took the opportunity in the last few weeks to do some reading on Mary, and I focused on Luke's narrative. And now I want to share some of what I have learned and some of what I have thought about with you today. The text from Luke itself is interesting, as it is one of very few passages in the Bible that center entirely on women and include dialogue. That's something I did not know. There are very few passages in the Bible that have only women characters who speak to each other. Two of the other longer ones would be from Exodus 2, in which the princess and Miriam and her mother and Moses' mother collaborate to save Moses. And then also in Ruth, of course, there's a number of scenes where it is Ruth and Naomi, and they are working together, mutually supporting each other. The passage itself in Luke is the center of the larger text, which goes from verse 5 to verse 80, and it's surrounded by the story of the Annunciation and the birth of John. It is also interesting to note that Luke includes another female-only narrative at the end of his book, in which the women observe Jesus' burial and come to the tomb on Easter morning. Although there is no dialogue of the women, begins in Luke 23:55. So there are interesting, it's interesting anyways, I find. Luke's infancy narrative actually contains pairs of stories featuring men and women, and they compare and contrast a little bit. So there are the Annunciations, one to Zechariah about John's birth, one to Mary about Jesus' birth. And they react differently. Zechariah doubts and asks for proof and ends up being struck dumb, whereas Mary questions, but not a doubting question, and things happen a little better for her. We have the reactions of both Zechariah and Elizabeth to the birth of John. And then there are Simeon and Anna's joyful testimonies at being presented with Jesus in the temple. In these first two chapters of Luke, we are introduced to the main themes of his gospel. The major one is God's favor for the marginalized, for those who are poor, for those who are on the edges. He also deals with the role of women in the early church community and what that looks like. There are more women in Luke's gospel than in the other ones, as well as themes of hospitality, of joy, and of suffering. Luke opens his gospel with stories of the least important people in society: Elizabeth, the barren wife, Mary, the young peasant girl, and Anna, the elderly widow, among them. These are the people who are shown to be reliant in and trusting in God, and who are submissive to God's will in a special way. Mary is given three separate yet interrelated roles in Luke's gospel: that of the model disciple, the prophet, and, of course, the one we know best, the mother. Now, since we usually only talk about Mary at Christmas, we usually focus on her as the mother of Jesus, which is, of course, hugely important to her character and related to the God-bearing role that is one of the important things I want to focus on this morning. However, also related to God-bearing are both the roles of disciple and prophet, and I'd like to look a little bit more closely at these this morning. I had never heard or thought of Mary as an example of a perfect disciple or a model disciple before, nor had I really taken note of the prophetic nature of her song. But let's take a look at that Annunciation narrative again. It follows the same basic pattern of all other call narratives in the Bible. And one of the prominent ones I thought of right away was Moses. So let's go through this pattern. First of all is the unexpected appearance of the angel in verse 28. The second part is that Mary is troubled. It's confusing to be surprised by this angel, this vision. The angel then addresses her and gives her a commission. Mary objects. And the fifth step then is that she is given a sign, which in this case is the pregnancy of Elizabeth, and some reassurance that nothing is impossible with God. Now there's a lot we could go into here, and I would love to dig into the text this morning, but I want to focus especially on Mary's responses. Her first response is that she is greatly troubled and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Mary was not in some holy place, as Zechariah was. She wasn't in the temple, nor was she at prayer, praying for some sort of divine intervention, as is the case in most of the other stories where God speaks to women. She was completely caught off guard. She was not expecting this. The Greek words used here stress Mary's thinking through the implications of this greeting. There is her perplexity, her troubledness. It's a strong kind of emotional upheaval of thought. What is going on? But then also the wondering and pondering is a more rational process where she's trying to think it through. What is going on here? How should I respond? So after the angel explains God's plan, Mary responds with a question. How can this be? I'm a virgin. This is a question of clarification. It's a question of process. It's also a little bit of a challenge. Okay, this is the plan, but how are you going to make it work? Mary's looking for direction. What should I do next? What is going to happen? She is not laughing at or shunning Gabriel's message, but she is honestly wondering, how can this be? Remember, this all came right out of the blue. No doubt she'd been thinking about children being engaged to be married, but probably not like this. So Gabriel answers with the sign of Elizabeth and ends with, nothing is impossible with God. Mary's third response then is to say, I am the Lord's servant. To be called the servant of God was not a demeaning term in any way. It was, in a sense, in the Bible, the servant of God is a title, and it puts Mary in the company of Abraham, Moses, Joshua, David, Daniel, who are all also called servants of God. The Greek word, douli, is more correctly translated slave. The slave of God is the one who has been chosen for something. This is not all about Mary's choice, but about God's choice. Feminist theologians that I have read want to make much of Mary's choice, of her freedom to choose, and of what this says for women. And that is an important element here, I think. Mary did have the freedom to choose. But it is more that she consents. She has not chosen this path for herself, but she agrees to it, and in so doing becomes the model disciple. Now, God has chosen each one of us as well, perhaps not so dramatically. Our choice, then, is to agree to be chosen, to open ourselves to a radical relationship with God, to open ourselves to God's grace, in order that we too can bear God again into the world. Mary's next action in this narrative is to visit Elizabeth, where both women experience the presence of the Holy Spirit and speak prophetically. Elizabeth's cry brings attention to the fact that God is breaking into the world here and now, already. It's not something that's going to happen. God is here doing things right now. And then Mary sings, "My soul magnifies the Lord." A lot of translations use glorify or exalt or extol. And the Greek word can mean all those things. It can also mean to enlarge or to lengthen, as well as to increase, magnify, and exalt. And I loved the verbal picture of our souls magnifying God. You think of what a magnifying lens does. It's a new way to think of what we're doing when we praise God. We're making God bigger and easier to see. We're making parts of God's character visible in a new way. In Mary's case, she is magnifying the justice of God. Luke's theme of status reversal is clearly introduced here in Mary's song. Mary connects God's action in her life with the prophetic motif of overturning, of reversing things. In fact, the songs of Mary, Zechariah, and Simeon are all brimming with Old Testament echoes, parallels, and inspirations. Mary's song has close parallels with Hannah's song in 1 Samuel 2, as well as Miriam's and Moses in Exodus, and with some of the Psalms. Mary interprets the events that are happening in her life as part of the larger pattern of God's acts of salvation in the history of Israel. This is Mary as a prophet, as an interpreter of the good news. God-bearers interpret events through the lens of God's acts in the world and in our lives. We bring God into our daily lives and into the lives of those around us, and we magnify God. We take a closer look. We highlight God's character and how it affects situations. We ask, what is God doing here? Mary's song does not exalt herself. She is not claiming special status for herself or that she earned her selection to be this mother of the Messiah. Instead, her focus is on God's gift, on what God has done, on God's intervention as the source of her being blessed. She is blessed because of who God is, not because of who she is. Another thing that Mary's song and her story remind us of is that God's favor is not necessarily associated with material blessings or success. In fact, it seems to have nothing at all to do with it. God's favor is with those who fear him, with those who respect and submit to him, with the humble, or as Elizabeth said, the ones who believe that what the Lord has said will be accomplished. Mary is a disciple of God, a prophet of God, and the mother of God. And in all of these, she is a bearer of God. As wildly unexpected as Gabriel's visit was, Mary chose to make a space for God, both physically and also spiritually. In her book, God Bearing, Elaine Robertson writes that Mary opened space within herself for the reconciliation of humanity and God to take shape. She opened the way for God to renew and reorient a broken world. And each one of us, if we are open to the possibility, if we choose to respond, and are willing to be changed by the process, are invited to be God-bearers too. Mary bore God into the world in her words and in her actions, as well as literally. She responded to God's call with strength and trust, even as she questioned and wondered and challenged. She magnified God's justice and God's saving acts. She interpreted her encounter with God through the lens of Scripture and with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. She was chosen, she was called, and she chose to trust and to submit. Now, although I chose to speak about Mary for a number of reasons, I found myself being challenged by her story. I have, I believe, been chosen for work in the church, but I have not always responded with, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary trusted God with her very body, not to mention her relationship with Joseph, her family, and with her unborn child. That kind of trust does not come easily for me. I also believe that each one of us has been chosen to bear God in our corners of the world. And what that looks like will be different for each one of us. Do I make space for God every day? Do I magnify God? Do I make God easier to see? That is a huge challenge for me, for all of us. And that is the challenge of being God bearers. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet. Now, if you please rise for the benediction and stay standing for the closing song. May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has shown us such love and in His grace has given us such unfailing encouragement and so sure a hope, still encourage and strengthen you in every good deed and word.
Blessed be your name, the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, when found in the desert place, the walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out of, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name, the sun shining down on me, the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, the road marked with suffering, those pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Blessing you pour out of, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory.